All right, it's time for our children's moment. If we have anybody that is kindergarten through fifth grade that want to come forward, come on up. I don't bite, Kay. You can come up. All right. This morning I brought. I brought a balloon. Yeah, balloons can be used for all kinds of illustrations. I brought a balloon. And I want you to imagine that this is your life, right? I know. Not full of air, okay? My life is so empty. No, just the idea that in life, like life, we have something in life that we have given the term stress, right? Stress, and stress tends to squeeze us. Right, things happen in life. There's all kinds of stuff that is hard, that gives pressure. And what do you think is going to happen? Yeah, as things keep going, right? We get stress, it squeezes, and it goes until it. There we go. Yeah, it pops, right? Like pressure keeps coming and keeps coming, and eventually we want to explode, right? We want to, we feel like our life's ruined, right? Oh, is there more pieces? Oh, thank you. Yes. Our cleaning crew thanks you. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, it really causes a lot of problems, and stress can be all kinds of things. You know, we think of outside pressures that can be affecting us and happening. Kids even have stress, right? I mean, you guys stress about homework, and you stress about, you know, missing loved ones, and there's all kinds of stuff that can get us under all that pressure. There's part of the verse that Fred's going to be talking about this morning in Philippians chapter 4. It says, verse 6, don't worry about anything. That's hard, right? Don't worry about anything. Those worries are going to come, but it says don't worry about everything, anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So instead of being a balloon, I brought something else. A little stress, right? What happens when you squeeze that? What happens? Does it pop? No, it doesn't pop. What does it do? What does it do when you squeeze it? It squishes, and then it what? Returns to its shape. It squeezes, and then it returns to its shape. All the pressure, I can put it under, and then it comes back to a smushed ball. But it comes back to its shape. When we are giving all of our worries to God, when we're spending all the time in prayer, when we have that relationship with God through Jesus, he helps us. And it doesn't mean that life isn't going to still give us hard things, right? We live in a sinful world that we contribute to all the time, all right? But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have hard times that happen. But when that squeezing happens, God can fill us back up. He can bring us back to that shape. And Fred's going to go into more detail with you guys as we head back to Junior Church back this way.
Thank you, brother. Morning. It's good to see everybody. Got my grandson sitting back there. It's good to see Caden. I didn't know if he could make it this morning, but it's certainly good to see him for sure, and everybody else who's here with us this morning. Today we are starting a new series. It's on God's solutions to life's struggles. And we're going to look at this through the month of September. And then we're going to start our small group series, okay? And I realize when we talk about God's solutions to life struggles, there's a lot more than just four of them, okay? We're going to look at for the next four Sundays, but there's a lot more. But yet we realize that I can't deal with them all. But always the answer is God, amen? He is always the answer. And so today we're going to be talking about stress, It's interesting as Ben was sharing about stress, and he brought out the stress ball. I could remember years ago when my daughter, oldest daughter, was in college, and I was at the Carter Lake Road Church in Bowie, Texas, and she was at Abilene Christian University, about 3 hours away. And we went to pick her up from college. It was going to be coming for the summer, you know, stay with us during the summer. And so we picked her up, and she made some stress balls. And how she made stress balls is that she took little balloons, and she filled each balloon with flour. And that became a stress ball. Brenda was driving. I was in the back seat, and I got this stress ball going, and that thing popped. Flour is all over me. We had to stop to get something to eat. I get out of the car, and flour falls all to the ground. And I thought, man, people's going to be thinking I had cocaine back there. So I tried to brush off the best we could. But so, you know, don't use these homemade stress balls, okay? They just don't work, all right? We're going to be studying from Philippians chapter 4. If you just want to turn your Bible over there, you can. But I want us to look at another passage. First of all, I want us to look at 1 Peter 5, verse 7, reading from the New Living Translation. Peter said, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." Yeah, hallelujah. Have you ever had one of those days when nothing seems to go right? You forget to set a wake-up alarm on your phone, leaving you only 15 minutes to get to work. And after you getting ready, you rush to your car only to discover a flat tire. And you hurriedly change the tire and speed off to work, and then you are pulled over by the police. And after receiving your ticket, you take off again to have your horn go off and accidentally remain stuck as you follow a leather-jacketed, tattooed, bearded motorcycle gang down the street. By the time you get to work, you're an hour late and your boss chews you out. While at work, you spill hot coffee in your lap. Your computer crashes, your secretary quits, and your accountant comes in and tells you that instead of getting the $500 refund, you owe IRS $136.84. And finally, you arrive home from work ready to unwind and relax, and then your neighbor comes to your door holding limp roses that your dog dug up from her prized garden, your flower garden. Your children come in screaming. Your wife comes in fussing. So you decide to retire early and get a good night's sleep. The bed collapses. Days like this create so much tension. They become oppressive, fretful, intense days of stress and anxiety. And, you know, of course, the scenario I just presented is certainly to an extreme. But we all have our share of experiences that can and does produce a lot of stress and anxiety in our lives. Am I right about that? I was talking to Susan this morning, and she was sharing with me so much that's going on with her house and everything else. I mean, one thing after another. And so stress does that. Stress can be a contributing factor to chronic headaches, backaches, stomach problems, nervous disorders, high blood pressure, heart disease, and even worsens the progression of certain types of cancer. And interestingly, both negative and positive experiences can place the same physical and emotional strains on the body. However, stress affects people differently. It's depending on how well you can cope with stress or utilize stress in your life. Now, some stress is vitally important to a person's well-being. I mean, it stands to reason that without some physical and mental demands, a person will settle for mediocrity and accomplish very little in life. However, stress out of control becomes distress. And it's distress that we are to avoid. And that's why it's important that we learn how to cope when stress and worry, you know, takes the best of us or begins to come into our lives. The late Jay Adams, who is an author and a biblical counselor, tells of a man named Joe who everybody knew was a worrier. And one day, Bill saw his worrying friend bouncing along as happy as a man can be. I mean, whistling and humming and wearing a big smile. I mean, he looked as if he didn't have a care in the world. And Bill wanted, you know, he could hardly believe his eyes, so he just wanted to find out what had happened to his worrying friend. Joe, what's happened to you? He asked. I mean, you don't seem worried anymore. And then he said, it's wonderful, Bill. It's wonderful. I haven't worried for several weeks now. That's great. I mean, how did you manage it? Joe explained, well, I hired a man to do my worrying for me. You did what? You hired a man. That's right, Joe affirmed. I mean, I pay him to take my worries away. And amazed at the transformation, Bill said, I must say that it seems to be working for you. I mean, how much does a man charge? $1,000 a week. $1,000 a week? I mean, how can you possibly afford $1,000 a week? And Joe answered, that's his worry. Now, wouldn't it be great if it was possible for someone to handle our worries and stress for us? Well, the Bible says that it is possible. Again, Peter said that we are to give our worries and our cares over to God. And in our text this morning, in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, Paul will give us God's solution in dealing with stress and anxiety in our lives. But before we get in that text, I want us to look at some common causes of stress, okay? Some common causes of stress. Number one is this. It is frustration. Frustration, common causes of stress. When we are unable to satisfy a motive, often frustration results. After 3 years of dating, you ask your girlfriend to marry you, but she refuses. You try to borrow more money to complete the addition that you started on your house, but the bank denied your loan. You're promised a raise after working for the company for 6 months, but they won't give it to you. And when a motive or a need is not supplied or fulfilled, this can become extremely stressful. Another one, number two, is conflict. Now, conflict occurs when two or more motives cannot be satisfied because they interfere with one another. You get a job promotion with a big pay raise and better benefits, but you have to move to Fargo, South Dakota. Or your doctor tells you that you must lose some weight, but you love to eat, okay? Or your wife gets a job because you need the extra income, but now she's unable to spend so much time with you at home and the kids that you enjoy having her there, but yet she can't be there. And anytime decisions have to be made that conflict each other, either positively or negatively, stress will result and possibly deplete a person's joy. And then thirdly, there is pressure. Pressure. Now, the term pressure describes the stress that arises from threats of negative events. I can't explain how you know for sure. I guess really you have to be a minister to understand. But there's this inner feeling that a minister sometimes gets when he knows that it is time that he needs to find another congregation. You know, what often happens is that he realized that, you know, that something is just kind of winding down, his ministry's winding down, you know, and it often happens, and he knows it's just, I just need to move on. I just need to move on. I had been preaching at my first church in Pearsall, Texas for 3.5 years when I had such a feeling. My relationship with two of the elders had become very strained, making my ministry unbearable at times. I knew deep down that it was just simply time for me to leave. And on occasions, ministers, although it is not what they want, and it's certainly not the best, but sometimes they have to secretly make inquiries into another ministry. Some elderships have been known to fire their ministers right on the spot, you know, when they decide they want to move. Okay, man, pack your bags. This was a church known for firing preachers. And so I felt that it was necessary to secretly look for another congregation. I was invited to preach at a congregation in Oklahoma to look at their ministry. And I took my vacation time, and my family and I, my wife, my two daughters, Stephen wasn't born yet, but we went up to look at the ministry up there. And after preaching that Sunday, I drove to Oklahoma City to visit my sister. And I gave them my sister's phone number in case they needed to get a hold of me. And so while I was there, I got a call from one of the elders of that congregation to inform me that it's between another preacher and me. But before they could make a decision, they wanted me to come and preach again that following Sunday. Well, I was supposed to be back in Pearsall by then. And as much as I dreaded it, I had to call one of my elders, and I told him that I was looking at another ministry in Oklahoma, and I needed the next Sunday off. He agreed, but he was not happy. He was not happy. I brought only two sermons with me. I had already presented them to the congregation the Sunday before. You know, at that time, you know, you had a morning service and an evening service. I already preached both of those sermons. I had only 2 days to write two more sermons. And I did my best under the circumstances, but they hired the other guy. We drove to my parents' house in Altus, Oklahoma to spend the night. The next day, Brenda and I loaded up the car preparing for the 8-hour trip back to Pearsall. And by this time, I was so distressed. The secrecy, the hours and hours of driving, the frustration of trying out for a new ministry and didn't get it, the worry of finally telling one of my elders our intentions of leaving, the pressure of writing two sermons in such a short time, the dread of returning home, you know, not knowing if I still had a job or if my furniture was taken out of the church parsonage onto the driveway. You know, I really didn't know. All of that just began, I mean, it just all just piled up and just was getting the best of me. And after Brenda and the girls and I got settled in the car, I started the engine, put it in gear, and I just sat there for a moment with my foot on the brake. And then all of a sudden, I just burst into tears. I was so embarrassed. I mean, I didn't want my little girls to see their daddy cry. And so I tried to stop it, but I just couldn't control myself. I mean, I was physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained. You see, pressures of negative events such as I experience is a great source of stress. But then there's also, number four, life events. Life events. Graduation, marriage, divorce, having a baby, job promotion, getting fired, illness, death of a loved one, retirement. All of these events, whether they are positive or negative, contribute greatly to stress in an individual. And if the stress is not dealt with properly, a person can begin to crumble under the stress and lose the joy that God has for him or her. So I want us to look over at Philippians chapter 4. I want us to see God's solution in dealing with stress. God's solution from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Number one is this. Number one is don't take life too seriously. Will you say that with me? Don't take life too seriously. I mean, I think that's what Paul is talking about in Philippians 4, verse 4, when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I think that's what he's talking about. Now, in Philippians 1, 12 through 21, we find that while writing these words, Paul is in chains under house arrest for preaching Jesus. He is chained to two Roman guards around the clock. Around the clock. He doesn't have his freedom to do what he wants to do. Even though he's under house arrest, he is chained and guarded by these two guards around the clock. He has people causing him trouble, Paul said, that some wants to see him killed and killed by Caesar while he's in prison. And then he says there is that possibility then that he may be put to death. So you talk about stress. And yet Paul was able to rejoice in spite of the frustration, the conflict, the pressure, the events that his faith in Jesus had thrust upon him. And he looked at his stressful situation and he said in Philippians 1 verse 18, basically he says this, when he talks about all the things that's happening under house arrest, in chains, people causing him trouble, might be put to death. He says in verse 18, who cares? Who cares? Nothing is going to deplete my joy. That's what Paul said. If there are all these things that's happening to him, who cares, he says. Now, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, Solomon writes this. He says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Have you been there? I mean, which do you have? A cheerful heart or a crushed spirit? I mean, if you have a crushed spirit, if you're down and despondent all the time, then you need to learn how to lighten up and start enjoying life. Church, I know the world is tough. I know what tough is. I know the world is tough, but we have guaranteed victory in Jesus. Amen? I mean, Christ is our medicine. He gives us a cheerful heart. He's the one who cures us of a crushed spirit caused by our self-pity. Because sometimes we just like to sulk. Have you noticed that? Sometimes we just like to sulk. So if you want to overcome the negative effects of stress and anxiety, then start laughing a lot, okay? Secondly, number two, Paul says, turn your anxieties over to God. Say that with me. Turn your anxieties over to God. Let's look at verses 6 and 7, Philippians chapter 4. Listen to Paul. Paul says, do not be anxious or do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was able to rejoice in spite of his stressful situations because he had already turned them over to God in prayer. He had already given them to God. A concerned church member comes to an elder and he says, Brother Jackson, we have a real problem. I mean, nothing's happening. I tried to handle it, but I just can't solve it. And the elder says, well, I guess all we can do is pray about it. And the member frantically replies, oh no, has it come to that? Friends, God is the great problem solver. And yet we often turn to him as a last resort. And we wonder why our problems keep on escalating. It's because we do not talk to God about those problems. And sadly, the philosophy of many people's approach to life is, you know, why pray when you can worry? You know, why pray? Again, Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He says, cast all your anxiety, your cares on him, on God, because he cares for you. He cares for us. God says, man, let me have that. Take it off your shoulder. Look, give me that worry. Give me that concern. Give it to me. Talk to me about it. And then David writes in Psalm 55, verse 22, he says, cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Do you believe that? Now, I know it sounds simplistic, but the greatest stress and anxiety reliever known to man is talking to God about it in prayer. Talk to God about it. I mean, just try it for a week. Try it for a week. I mean, every time you feel yourself being stressed out about your job, your children, your spouse, the bills, the church, I mean, stop where you are and spend a few minutes fervently praying to God, talking to God about it. And I'll guarantee you that by the end of that prayer, you will feel an amazing peace if you truly let God take care of it. Thirdly, Paul goes on to say God's solution to stress. He said, dwell on the good things in life. Say this with me. Dwell on the good things in life. Listen to what he goes on to say, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What Paul is saying here and what he means is that we are to focus our attention on the positive things and not the negative. And I know that it almost sounds like positive thinking, but it's much more than that. You know, positive thinking can attempt to deny the negative, but Paul's not asking us to deny the negative, but to refocus on the positive. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't see the negative stuff in life. But instead, what we do, we decide that this negative stuff will not be the focus of our life. I mean, people who constantly think negatively and pessimistically tend to be very unsatisfied, both with themselves and with others. So Paul is saying, you know, that we need not dwell on the negative all the time. Don't dwell on it, he says. Instead, we must refocus our minds onto the beneficial things, not the menacing things. We must fix our concentration on the peaceful things, not the worrisome. We must dwell on the tranquil and not the fretful that we often dwell on. So what are the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? What are those things? Well, there is hope. Hope that is based on faith in Jesus Christ. There are the promises that are based on God's unchanging integrity and power, the promises of God. There is that peace that is based on God's presence and works in our lives, a peace that transcends all understanding. There is that assurance. We sang the song today, assurance in Christ, assurance. Assurance that is based on God's unfailing grace. And then there are the things that last for eternity. Not the temporal things on earth, the temporary things, but the eternal things that are stored up in heaven for us based on God's dependability. Those are the things that we need to focus on. These things in life. Yes, life can be tough. But yet, Paul says, man, but put your focus here. Think about these things. I mean, these are the things that get us through life in spite of the stressful situations that we face. You know, we live in a stressful time. We live in a stressful time. And I know that. You know that. But we have power available to us that keeps us from crumbling under the stress. In fact, Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Philippians 4, verse 13. In fact, I want us to say this together. I can do everything through him, Jesus, who gives me strength. One more time. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Do you believe those words? I mean, what we need to understand that Christ gives us the strength that we need to deal with and overcome the frustrations, the conflicts, the pressures, and the difficulties that we face in life. We've got to put our trust in him. Amen? Put our trust in him. And if we are able to do that, then we will be able to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. So let me ask you, how have you been dealing with your stress lately? Life can really be tough. I'm not telling you, this is not the first time you heard that, because you experience it, don't you? Because there are those in this room today who, man, has dealt with some very difficult, trying circumstances. Again, Susan shared with me today about having to do some work in their house that's gonna be major, major repairs. It's gonna cost them thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. And on top of that, dealing with Lester's illness, who's unable still to really be what he needs to be, and dealing with all that and everything else that happens. I mean, it just becomes, life sometimes can become unbearable, especially if we're not focusing on God, because that's where we need to focus. And I know there are others in this room who face your life struggles, whether it's health issues, financial, dealing with family, dealing with work, maybe even dealing with some things here within this church, this congregation that has really caused some stress. Whatever it is, Paul wants us to know that we can get a grip on it. Not by our own strength, But by the strength of Jesus Christ, we can get a grip on it. And we can deal with it. We just have to believe that. And have to trust God. And so, yes, we've got to get into His Word. But if we don't try to get a grip on the stress that comes our life, next week we're going to be talking about depression. Because what happens is that stress that is not dealt with will often lead one into deep, deep depression. And we're going to be discussing that next week. Again, looking from God's Word, what God says about it, and looking at His solutions. His solutions. We're going to be getting ready to sing an invitation song this morning. And this is a time for us to really just look at our lives and look at what it might be that we may be going through. There may be, again, some here. I say maybe. No, I know. I know there are some here who are really dealing with a lot of difficulties in your life right now. I know that. And we would certainly love to pray about it. We'd love to pray for you about that, whatever it is that you're going through. An invitation song is just a way that we reflect. We hear this song and we listen to those words and we sing those words, and it's a time to reflect on what is it, God, that you're telling me right now? What is it, God, that is so heavy on my heart that I need to bring to you right now? Maybe there are some who may be here that have yet given your life to Jesus. And I'd like to talk to you about that. I'd like to talk to you about that and what that truly means. Because I know that God has the solution for whatever it is that you may be going through. But we've got to place our trust in Him. And so if we can help you this morning, if we can pray for you this morning, we want you to come forward. Us together, we stand and we sing. Thank you.